Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program brought to you by the Worshipful Boulevard Church of Christ. If you have your Bibles this morning, and we'll turn to Judges chapter 16, we want to look at the Bible story of Samson and Delilah. When I think of Old Testament stories that people know today, and maybe somebody doesn't know their Bible very well, but they know certain Bible stories here and there of the Old Testament, one would be the story of Samson and Delilah. Books have been written about it other than the Bible. Movies have been made. There are stories in the Old Testament that people know today, especially because of Hollywood. Noah's Ark, Moses and the Ten Commandments, movies like that. And then, of course, Samson and Delilah. So if you'll turn with me to Judges chapter 16 this morning, we will begin there, and then we will go to some other places in the story of Samson, who judged Israel for 20 years. And we hope that we can gain some admonition from this lesson, this account, this historical account that is true, and it is written for our admonition and learning. We can go back and learn some lessons for our admonition today. And the main lesson that we want to learn is that we learn how a strong man became weak. How a physically strong man became spiritually weak, and the Lord departed from him, and he did not know that. And so, is the Lord with us today or not? We might be physically strong, we might be in the prime of our life or in our youth, and we have a lot of physical strength, but we're not strong spiritually speaking. And so I hope that we can learn some lessons this morning. In Judges chapter 16, I want to pick up the reading in verse 4. We'll read down through the end of the chapter. This is one of the more well-known parts of Samson's life, and then we will look at some lessons for our admonition this morning. Samson was a judge, and when you picture a judge, don't picture someone in a black robe sitting in a courtroom. Judges, in the book of Judges, in the Old Testament, were men, and in the case of Deborah, one woman, who saved the Israelites from various nations in and around them that were attacking them. God allowed them to attack when Israel would go astray, especially in their idolatry and things like that. They would be allowed by God to be attacked, and when Israel would cry out for help, God would send them a judge, a deliverer, a savior. And there are several of them in the book of Judges, and of course we come down to Samson. He was chosen from birth to be a special person who would save God's people. And God appeared to his parents and told them that they're going to have a son. He was to be a Nazirite. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. He had very concerned parents, which is great, back in chapter 13. The story of Samson is Judges 13, 14, 15, and 16, those four chapters in the book of Judges. He had very concerned parents. They wanted to know how to raise him. That was very good. And the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. We read about that in chapter 13, verses 24 and 25. The Spirit of the Lord began to move him. And he, as he grew, and as he was blessed by God, he's even mentioned in Faith's Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 32. This is a great man, but really he has a tragic ending, and we want to learn some lessons from that. A man or a woman can start off with greatness and slowly go downhill in their relationship with God. So we want to see how that takes place this morning on the program, and we're glad that you've joined us. Let's start reading in Judges chapter 16 and verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said to her, entice him, that's Samson, and see wherein his great strength lies, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lies, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green ropes that were never dried, then shall I become weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green ropes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had liers in wait, adding in the inner chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And he brake the ropes and string, as a string of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they only bind me with new ropes, wherein no work has been done, then shall I become weak and be as another man. So Delilah took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson, and liers in wait were abiding in the inner chamber, and he brake them off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto him, if thou weavest 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with a pin and said unto him, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And he wakened out of his sleep and plucked away the pin of the beam and the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was vexed unto death. And he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and shall be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has told me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought the money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and shaved off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and said, I will go out as at other times, and shake myself free. But he knew not that Jehovah had departed from him. And the Philistines laid hold on him, and put out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters and brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hand our enemy and the destroyer of our country, who hath slain many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made sport before them, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, allow me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house rests, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto Jehovah and said, O Lord Jehovah, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes. And Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars upon the house, upon which the house rested, and leaned upon them, the one in his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the dead that he slew at his death were more than they that he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. So what can we learn from this account this morning? Well, we find, of course, that, and most people, if they know anything about the story of Samson, they know that he was a physically strong man. But we're going to see here in this case where he gave up his vow that his strength ultimately was in his God and in obedience to the vow that he had since his youth. And when he went back on that vow, then his strength left him. Long hair alone doesn't make a person strong. There were people in the Bible with long hair, and they weren't necessarily physically strong individuals. It was Samson's maintaining of his vow to God, the Nazarite vow that we read about back in chapter 13, that made him strong. And it was God's presence with him in keeping that vow that made him ultimately strong. That vow is found back in chapter 13 and verse 4, when the angel of the Lord appears unto Samson's parents and says, "Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou hast conceived and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Verse 7, "But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and drink no wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, from the womb to the day of his death." So the Nazarite vow involved not cutting Samson's hair. And we read about that Nazarite vow if you'll go back to Numbers chapter 6. There's some more information about it back there. So Samson, everybody knows, was a physically strong man. And there are other parts of the account that show that. Again, the story of Samson is Judges 13 through 16. For example, in chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, he destroyed a lion with his bare hands. In chapter 14 and verse 19, he killed 20 men of Ascalon. In chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. And in chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, he carried away the gates of the city of Gaza. So, clearly, he's a physically strong man. But he also had to learn to stay spiritually strong, that when he did not stay with his vow and allowed his hair to be cut, or at least told that secret, if you will, that undid him spiritually with God, and God was no longer with him. The key text that I want us to consider this morning is chapter 16 and verse 20. He did not know the Lord was departed from him. That's what's important. And there are some things throughout his life that show he was spiritually weak. He was physically strong, but spiritually weak. For example, in chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, he married someone who was outside the children of Israel, and the Israelites were not supposed to do that. He ignored his Nazarite vow in chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, when he touched a dead carcass. He acted out of personal vengeance in chapter 15 and verse 7. He went to a harlot in chapter 16 and verse 1. He lied to Delilah more than once in chapter 16, verses 7 and following. So a man or a woman can be physically strong, can have great physical health, but be weak spiritually. And that's a lesson that I want us to consider this morning. Are we physically strong but spiritually weak? And so when Delilah says, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson," he just said, "Well, I'll go out as I've always done before. I've been able to, you know, kill this lion with my bare hands, and I killed 20 men here, and I killed another 1,000 men there, and I can do great things. I'll just go out like I've always done." But he did not know the Lord had departed from him. There is indication in his life that he's spiritually growing weaker. So the first lesson that I would like to consider is that a person can be physically strong and spiritually weak. And what's interesting is that God does not need someone who's physically strong. He needs people who are spiritually strong. He can do the rest. He can accomplish the rest. In fact, what's interesting is that with God, sometimes the weakest people physically are strong. God, with Gideon and his 3,000 men, were able to go up against the Midianites in Judges chapter 7. David was able to go up against Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Jonathan against the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 14. Elijah took on the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18. Paul had a number of weaknesses in his life, physically, especially as he got older, but he was able to accomplish great things for God. With God, the weakest are actually strong. But without God, the strongest, physically, are weak. And so let us learn that lesson today. We need to have and be in a right relationship with God. The Nazirite vow is not for us today. That's not what I'm suggesting. But being spiritually minded and obeying God and doing His will and obeying this Nazirite vow was something that Samson was supposed to do. We're supposed to obey Jesus Christ and the commandments and the principles that He has for us in the New Testament so that we can have God on our side. But God will forsake us if we forsake Him. God's presence is a blessing. We see that in Samson's life. As long as he held that vow, God helped him. But when he gave up that vow, God departed from him. The Lord had departed from him. And so he was not able to throw off the Philistines, and they bound him and laid hold on him, and they poked his eyes out. There are individuals who were blessed when God was with them, Israel coming out of Egypt. But when they didn't want to obey and enter into the land, in Numbers chapter 14, we looked at that recently on the Let the Bible Speak program, God departed from them. God was with Israel when they marched around the walls of Jericho. We just recently looked at that. But then in the very next chapter, in Joshua chapter 7, God was not with them because there was sin in the camp. God's presence is a blessing, but that's conditioned upon our obedience. And when we disobey, God will depart, and that's a curse. And it's the same today for Christians. God is with us, and He will support us. Paul says that in Romans chapter 8, 31 and 32. If God be for us, who can be against us? And there's several verses there that talk about all the great things that God will help us through in life, all the way to death, all the different trials and tribulations and problems. God will be with us. But when we leave God, He leaves us. And I think of the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. They had lost their first love for the Lord. They didn't love the Lord later like they did at the beginning of their relationship with Him. And Jesus says, "Remember whence you are fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I come to thee and will move thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." I can no longer be in fellowship with this group. If you don't repent, I'm going to remove your candlestick. A candlestick provides light. You will no longer be a light of influence and good in Ephesus. If you don't repent and do the first works and come back and love me like you once did. So, God's presence is a blessing, but when God departs, it's a curse. And we need to consider Samson's conduct throughout his life. Like I said before, there were things that he did that caused him to depart from God. Samson married a woman of Canaan in Judges chapter 14. verse 2 and 3. He touched an unclean thing, Judges 14, 8 and 9. He was sexually immoral, went into a harlot, Judges 16, verse 1. When there's sin in our life, God will depart from us. That's what sin is. Sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. John writes in 2 John verse 9 that when Christians go onward, go beyond the doctrine of Christ, they have not God. That's a very serious thing. So sin separates us from God. Some, I don't think, know that the Lord has departed from them. They just assume that they're living each day and God is cool with them, God's okay with them. They live any way they want, and God is such a loving God that He's always going to be on their side. But how do you know if God is on your side or not? Not just by saying it or thinking it. God's presence is spiritual. He's a spirit, John 4:24. He's not physically standing beside you. How would you know if God has departed from you? His departure has no outward physical sign. It's spiritual in nature. And so we know that God has departed from us when we read His Word and He tells us that this particular sinful behavior or that particular behavior, I cannot have fellowship with. I am not going to condone that. We know He has departed. Friends, would you even know if God has departed from you, or will it be a rude awakening in the judgment day? The text says that he got up and he was going to go out just like he had always done, but he knew not that Jehovah had departed from him. We're talking about Samson. We're talking about a man who had done things to save his people for many years, 20 total. You would think he would know. He didn't know. He just assumed. And he presumed. And he thought that he was okay. And so that brings us to our next lesson. Some don't know that the Lord has departed from them. And they get up each day just assuming that everything's fine when it's not. They're maintaining this position or standing in life where they're just assuming and presuming that everything is okay because I'm going to get up today just like I got up yesterday and nothing bad happened to me yesterday, and so I'm just going to get up and do the same thing and everything's fine. Look at the statement in chapter 16 and verse 20. I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. Well, it didn't work this time. So we just get up and we continue our habits in our daily living and we assume that everything's fine when it's not. Again, God is not going to physically show that He has departed. We have to read His Word to know that. Now, I do believe the Scripture does teach that God can use things to punish us and discipline us. Hebrews chapter 12, other passages, the book of Job and other things. But even in the book of Job, for example, Job hadn't done anything wrong. But when we sin, I do believe God can use physical things to judge us. But there's no outward physical message telling us that God has departed. And so a lot of people think that they're on speaking terms with God and so forth, when He's actually not with them. Sin separates us from God. We do not have God on our side, 2 John 9, when we go beyond the doctrine of Christ. We don't have Him anymore. He's not there. Just like in the case with Samson. So, there are individuals who are just acting like everything's normal, everything's fine when it's not. I think about an example in the New Testament of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the church at Corinth. Paul says, it is actually reported that there is fornication among you, that one of you has his father's wife, and you were puffed up and did not rather mourn that he that had done this thing might be taken away from you. They were just carrying on business as usual. You know, we're just the church at Corinth, and that we're going to come together every Sunday and take the Lord's Supper, and we're going to give of our contribution. We're going to meet together to worship. Everything's fine. And we've got this fornicating brother in our midst, and he's okay with having his father's wife. We're okay with it. Everything's good. We're all good. And we're just going to, you know, have church every week, and everything's fine. And Paul said it's not. He said you need to, verse 6, your glorying is not good. You need to purge out that evil influence and withdraw your fellowship from that brother. And he goes on to talk about that. Your glorying is not good. And so, I think sometimes individuals, churches, other places, they just have the attitude of Samson, I will go out as before. You know, everything's fine. And then it's not. So let's learn that lesson. Another lesson that we need to learn is that falling away is often gradual. Drifting and falling away. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, we need to be careful that we don't drift away from the great salvation that we have learned and been a part of as Christians. But falling away can be gradual. And I think a part of that is found in Samson's life. It didn't all happen at once. There are different things that he's doing to show his spiritual weakness, especially coming up to chapter 16 and going into that harlot, that prostitute, and then lying to Delilah. It's a slow, gradual drifting away from God. And so we need to be mindful of that. How would we know that God is with us or not? Well, we need to test ourselves and examine ourselves. Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Are we willing to do that, friend, today? Are we willing to take the Word of God and examine ourselves to see if we are in a right relationship with Him? Do we read our Bible? Do we even check to see if God is with us or not? We've got to be willing to do that very thing. Instead of just getting up and going on as before, let us examine ourselves. And we need to remember that God can leave us. So let's not be so self-dependent or self-confident that we think God will never leave us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, we'll close with this. Paul says, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. So we need to make sure that we are in a right relationship with God. Can we help you to do that, friend? Can we sit down and study the Word of God with you? Is God with you or not? How would you know that? Only by reading and studying and obeying the Word of God can you know that today. And we want to encourage you to have God with you because of the blessing that comes from that. And if we can help you to have God's presence in your life, let us get together and study how that we might do that together. Thank you for being with us, and have a good day.